Grace and peace are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As mentioned, the text is Psalm 139, the first 10 verses. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Dear brothers and sisters, when we start reading this, we can read it, if you will, with an eye toward the law and an eye toward the gospel. It's only at the end that we have some sort of a resolution. Before that, it depends on how it strikes our hearts. It depends, if you will, on how we hear God's tone of voice speaking to us through this word. I know everything you're doing sounds a lot better than I know everything you're doing. And so it is in our relationship with God. When I was in high school, I don't remember if it was my sophomore or junior year, living out in Gallup, New Mexico, our house sat at one edge of a subdivision, and then there was an arroyo, a dry creek bed most of the year, and on the other side was the junior high. You went up the road a little bit farther, and then was the high school. To get there, you crossed the footbridge and then walk on by the junior high track, then over a bridge onto the high school property. And every once in a while, either the school or the city police was sitting out there looking for people who were doing things they shouldn't do. And one day, I was walking to school by myself, not doing anything wrong, not sneaking cigarettes, not selling drugs, not getting in a fight. I was just walking to school, and a police officer stopped me and demanded that I empty my pockets, that I open up what all I was carrying and show. Now, maybe I do look suspicious, but that was beside the point. I was doing nothing to attract his attention, and he violated my privacy. He demanded to see something of me that I did not want to show. As an adult, if he had done that, I probably would have resisted gently and firmly, but as a high school student facing somebody with a badge and a uniform and a gun, you tend to comply a little bit more readily. That's the way this hits us when we think about how God can penetrate our innermost thoughts. How God can search us. Not just turn out your pockets, but a complete frisk. A full body search, and he goes beyond the body, to the mind, to the heart, to the innermost being that we have, where we can hide things away, not just from strangers, not just from acquaintances, not just from friends, not even just from family members or even ourselves. We cannot hide it from God. And that should shake us up. Because every one of us has things that we wish were buried and forgotten and remembered no more. Every one of us says or thinks or does something on a fairly regular basis that God could hold against us as evidence in his court of judgment. O Lord, you have searched me and known me, can be our confession of sins, of abject terror, because this is the one who can send us to hell and leave us there forevermore. If God demanded that you empty your pockets and your purse and your wallet, if God demanded that you submit to a complete search, what would he find? A lot more than you'd want him to. But yet, at the same time, these are such wonderful words of comfort. Because God has searched us and known us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our failures. and he knows how to fix them, to heal them, to strengthen them, to replace them with something that is good and right in us. You have searched me and known me. I admit it. I, a poor, miserable sinner. I, a dirty, rotten scoundrel. I, a damnable creature of darkness and doom. But I am baptized. I am God's own child, and I gladly say it, because God knows that, and God gladly tells me that. Not I was baptized, and that's some piece of evidence locked up in the locker, but it's an ongoing state of being. As if I had just recently been pulled out of the font, still dripping wet. Not only with the water of the font, but with the blood Christ shed on his cross. And God, who searches me, knows that about me also. He knows that however weak and tenuous it could be from time to time, that I do have faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. And he knows that about you. And that's why, at the same time that his searches terrify us, they also comfort us. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. I remember those days from my youth also. My dad could tell through a locked, or at least a shut door, whether or not I was in bed or up and moving. Probably because for much of my life I shared a bedroom with one or more brothers, and if we were lying in bed, it was about the only time the room was dead quiet. And if he didn't hear some sort of commotion or clatter in the room, he didn't have to come in there and see to know what was going on. But God knows even more than that. Even while you're sleeping, even when you're in a state where you're not dreaming, when you seem completely dead to the world and completely unconscious, uncognizant of anything going on, God is aware of everything. And he watches you. And he cares for you. And he plans for you. And he carries out those plans for you. You search out my path. Am I lying down and are acquainted with all my ways? God makes your bed for you. God wakes you up in the morning. God says, here's your trail. Head out along it. I will not only be there with you all the way, but through my Son Jesus, I have blazed that trail for you. Think about that. You walk a different path from anybody else on earth, but yet, by taking on human flesh, Jesus walked your path because he faced everything that should terrify you, that should destroy you, that should rip you limb from limb, body from soul. Because he faced sin, death, devil, and grave for you. He searched out the darkest and deepest and most hideous places imaginable and boldly went in there and face the consequences, and suffer the judgment of his Father's anger at you, so that you might know the Father's love forever and ever. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. And again, both the judgment, because this tongue, your tongue, all tongues, lie. They stab people in the back. They pass on gossip. And you and I both know that sometimes the true gossip is more hurtful than the false gossip, but we can't always shut our mouths. But yet God cleanses that tongue and these lips. Like Isaiah's with the hot coal, so also he places the burning word of his love in there. And as he roots out the evil, he also replaces it with good, so that we can confess not only our sins, but also the glory of God, the wonder of the creation, and the special loving relationship that each of us has with him through Jesus. You hem me in behind and before. And again, that back and forth. I'm trapped. That's the hemming in of the law. I can't get out of here. God has finally pinned me down. He's boxed me in. I'm in a phone booth. Now I'm in one of those things in the movies where the walls are closing in and I can't push them out. And they are going to crush me and destroy me. And sometimes it seems like God lets those walls shut all the way and there is absolutely no escape. And the pain, if not physical, at least the pain of the soul is unimaginable. But then all of a sudden they're all flung open. And the only hemming in, the only surrounding is by his love, his protection, his care and concern for us. Not of trapping us in a little cell in Guantanamo where everybody's forgotten about us, but rather in putting a family and friends, a place, a people, a hope for life everlasting around us. A work area, a playground. Our land of celebration until we reach our eternal celebration. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. We have just barely scratched the surface of what God does in these words. To us, through us, for us. And sometimes even with us and by us. As we become his instruments of carrying out his word and his will in this creation. We can't run away from his spirit. We can't flee from his presence. There's no rock that's too big to hide under that God cannot find us. There's no pit too dark and too deep. Because if Jesus can even survive the pit of death and hell, then Jesus can find you wherever you have fallen, wherever you have stumbled, or wherever you have chosen to hide yourself. And he comes looking for you, not to destroy you, but to redeem you. Not to slaughter you, but to save you. He is the good shepherd. And he doesn't butcher his sheep, but he loves his little lambs, and he tends them and takes them back to green pastures and the still waters. Because he not only searches us, he also searches for us. He not only speaks to us directly in his word, but also through the family and friends of his church. Even in heaven, the highest sky, the farthest star, God knows it and would know us if we were there. Even in Sheol, the place of the dead, even if we nap in a dirt bed for hundreds, thousands of years, he still knows us. Not knew us, but knows us. And knows that even as our bodies slumber, so our souls, as we sang, already celebrate our eternal presence with our Lord. And he celebrates our presence with him. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. And now we are at the pure and full joy of this passage. The judgment is gone. Now we're on that adventure. Sailing off to the place not unknown, but known only by God in fullness. But we know that's our destination. That's our promised land. That's our new world. And in this ship of the church, God is the captain. God is at the helm, but yet he also waits on the far shore to open his arms and greet us. Welcome to the promised land. Welcome to the life I prepared for you through my son Jesus. Even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. The images of Moses and Joshua stretching out their hands and the Red Sea and the Jordan River parting before them. Now also the rivers, the seas, the storms part. They are calmed and gently, graciously, God leads us in. His hand leads you down into the font, through this life, into the tomb, and back out to live forevermore. O Lord, you search me and know me. And even when he is accusing you of the most vile sins you have ever committed, and you know he's got you nailed, you can give thanks. Because he has not nailed you to a cross. He did that to his son. So that he can accuse you and forgive you and give you every blessing that he has in store for you. Thank God that he has so thoroughly searched you, so completely known you, and so absolutely loved you. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you steadfast in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.